My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Memphis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The Earth has spun around 7 more revolutions. A lot of shit has happened with very few solutions. How do you unpack what's happened this week? Give Mike and Greg the mic and listen to them speak on the Sunday Flip Blues Podcast.
Taping on a Thursday, coming check, out on check. A Sunday. That's the kind of turnaround we're looking for.
I barely have time for this with March Madness, Greg.
Oh, come on. Well, I mean, we didn't even have a basketball team at our college. Well, we did. I got my college shirt on right now. BU. You don't even have a BU shirt, do you?
You bought me one once. Is that a trick question?
Oh, that's right. Do you wear it?
Nope. I gave it to the girls did, though.
Hmm. It's good.
You got as close to maroon as you possibly could.
Now, why don't you wear your BU sweatshirt?
You didn't get me a sweatshirt. You gave me a long sleeve t-shirt. I'm sure it was thrown at you when you did a gig there. A hoodie I'd wear.
All right. So what are you betting on? What's going on?
First of all, on my own, because I'm in Tennessee and I can bet on my phone. BetMGM or whatever. I won. I think the first parlay I've had three game parlay I've ever won. And you're right. You're like, I'll never go bankrupt because I'm such a coward. I only bet $10 and won 90.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And real exciting ends. But anyway, the bet, I think I might have talked. I've talked about this before for sure. And I don't know if I did last week, so I'll keep it very tight. Rabi, our moron friend, he came back from Vegas once. He's like, I figured it out, March Madness. Like, I won. And I'm like, what'd you figure out? He's like, you bet the overs. I'm like, really? That's what it is? And he's like, yeah. He goes, because the kids play with heart. I'm like, they do? And I go, and no one in Vegas has figured out that these college kids play with heart. So for a year, he's like, do you want to do it with me? Because he, like, after all was said and done, he won like $500. And I'm like, how about this? Let's cut the middleman out of it. I'll take your action. What's your bet? He goes, well, no, I bet every game. I don't know. There's like, whatever, 73 games, 50, I forget how many games. You should look that up while I'm talking. So, and I'm like, all right, I'll take the under in every game. And I'm like, how much are we betting? He's like, $100 a game. I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, but in the end, it's, you know, they're so good at it, it almost works out to be even. And I'm like, okay. So then he goes to me.
63.
Hey, huh?
63, which I literally almost said when you asked me.
63 games, right? So the first year we did it, and he goes, right before the first game starts, he goes, by the way, at the end of this, we're not friends. It's like you're going to pay me because I'm the casino. I'm not your friend.
No, I hate it when people do that. I hate when people go, hey, you know what? I'll just take you out to a steak dinner, or they laugh off paying you. Fuck that. This is a bet. This is real money.
Right. So he even mentioned that. He goes, no, like, you know what? Just take me out to a steak dinner and we'll be even. Okay. Long story short, there were 12 more unders than overs the first year. He owed me $1,200. And I go, do you want to just do a steak dinner? He's like, shut the fuck up. And then, but then he goes, but I have to pay you in 4 installments because the wife can't know. So he gave me a check for $300 and did it 3 more times. And then he's like, we're doing this every year. And one year, and we haven't done it in a while, but we're doing it this year. The first 4 games, there have been 3 unders. But the 1 year, it was one more like over than an under. They had it exactly 31 unders, 31 overs, and then one of them was an over, I think. That's so how accurate they
are. No, it's amazing. It's amazing how they nail that line. And the really amazing thing is the line doesn't change that often. It'll go out, you know, 10 days before the game, and maybe it changes a half a point or a point at the most.
Well, Georgia just went up two right before tip-off.
Because
I watched that. The trend is every game, almost every game except one, the line moved up. So the over got higher. And that helps me. That's why I'm keeping an eye on it. But that's why I bet the under, is because I think people hate betting the under. And then they go with the over when they finally get around.
Meanwhile, you don't know shit about college basketball. Probably couldn't name a half a dozen college players right now.
I don't know if I could name one. Honestly.
Hilarious. Yeah. Now, That's the thing. I don't follow college sports. I just can't keep up. I have a hard enough time keeping up with the names in the NFL. I can't remember comedians I've worked with on the road. I can't worry about a point guard from Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
Oh, is it Gonzaga?
Or the name of the school. But we got, I'm in Nashville, and we got Tennessee playing tonight. We have Vanderbilt. I think the state of Tennessee has like three teams in the tournament, I believe.
Wow.
Michigan's playing tonight.
Okay.
Oregon is playing tomorrow.
Well, should we talk about it? You were in New York for St. Patty's Day. Your father, if people don't know this, if they're new to the show, your father's a big deal in the Irish American business community. He was a big part of, like, in the 90s when they started creating the Celtic Tiger, where they poured a lot of American investment into the Irish
American
economy.
American Fund and all that stuff, yeah.
So anyway, your dad was a big part of that, and he was asked to be the Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade about 5 years ago, which is...
God, it's 10. I think it's 10.
10? Which is a huge deal. People have no idea how big the St. Patrick's Day Parade is in New York. And
you marched that year, right? Or was it a subsequent year?
I marched with you and a subsequent year, but we flew in together for that one. And so you went back this year, and what do they have? They have a banner for the post Grand Marshals to march?
All the former guys, Grand Marshals can march. But he did this thing, he started Knights of St. Patrick. It's like the Knights of Columbus in New York. So he decided to march with them right behind Xavier High School.
Nice.
I don't know which Xavier, but they had a rocking band.
I lived next door to Xavier High School in New York. It was on 16th Street and 6th Avenue.
You know, so I stayed in Chelsea this time, and I was wondering if I walked by your building. You were on 6th?
I was between 5th and 6th on 16th Street.
I might have. I was wondering, have you ever gone on Zillow and seen what your apartment is worth now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's
that
crazy.
That must not feel good.
I bought it for $195. It was a pretty big one bedroom in a nice building in a good part of town. And but real estate wasn't that high. I got a development deal with CBS for like $200,000. And I just said, I'm buying a fucking apartment. That's the smartest thing I can do right now. And I lived in it for maybe 5 years, and then I had to, but I had moved to LA and I was subletting it. I was getting $3,500 a month in rent, which I owned it. I didn't have a mortgage. So I paid like $700 a month in maintenance fees, and then I pocketed the $3,500. The rent on that right now is probably $7,000. I would be taking in $7,000 a month for the rest of my... And it's not like a house where, like, you got to replace the roof or, you know, the chimney's got to crack. There's none of that shit. You just pay your maintenance fee and that's it. Capped out. Fucking money in the bank. But they made me sell it because it was a co-op and you're only allowed to sublet for like 2 or 3 years.
Well, sometimes you do get burned, like, you know, when the buildings get older. So like mine, I'm renting, but I get the newsletter that all the owners get, and all of them just had to pay $50,000 out of pocket to do the roofs and the elevators.
Wow.
$50,000 a unit.
Damn. Like,
yeah, that's, I know.
Yeah, I guess I forgot about the assessments. Yeah.
Yeah, the assessments. And the reason they put them on assessments. They try to keep the HOA fee down because it's more attractive to sell the place.
Yep.
Like, in other words, instead of adding the roofs, just let's say raise the HOA $500.
So tell me about the parade.
Parade was good. It was kind of all my memories of parades in New York, even when I was dragged to the Thanksgiving Day parade. It's almost always raining or about to rain.
It is.
And so it was
like
raining on us. Yep. And listen, let's face it. In my opinion, I think it was like the 265th marching. Like it's older than, way older than the country. And it's older than the country anyway, but it's, if you're a kid, it's the worst parade in the world. Like it's not, you know, you think parade, you're going there, you're going to see floats, you're going to see performances like acrobatics and all that stuff. This is like a parade of heart disease.
Yeah.
That's what the St. Patrick's Day parade is. Really bloated white people.
Yeah. And the music is sad, you know, for the most part. It's like a funeral march. And
you add bagpipes to it, which a lot of people can't stand. But some great marching band music. I don't want to be all negative.
No, I love it. Some of them are really incredible. Look, my favorite day in New York was the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Absolutely. And when I was a kid, we used to go down to the city. We would get annihilated. We were the assholes pissing on mailboxes and getting into fights and heckling and throwing shit. But it was fun. And then as I got older, I would march with my grandfather. He was in the Ancient Order of Hibernians from the Bronx. And we would march with him. And these guys were like old IRA guys. These were the real deal. They marched like chins up, shoulders back, very, very serious.
Was this Florence?
Florence McCarthy. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Former IRA member.
There was, what was I going to say? I lost it.
How's your dad? Did he make it the whole parade?
Yeah. And then he, you know, whatever. There's luncheons on days before it and on the day of the parade and all that stuff.
Any bigwigs?
I don't know. Because I was looking for the mayor. Usually, like, you know, there's some ceremonial march for a few blocks or something like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe up to St. Patrick's at least because the Cardinal's out there.
I would wear that
chair under a tent waving at everybody.
Let me tell you something. The Kiss Me, I'm Irish button, you could get some fucking mileage out of that. When you were 17, 18 years old, you could get a lot of kisses with that button on. But it used to be drinking in the streets.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of like the pissing on mailboxes thing. Because first of all, it was a Monday. They always have it on the day. I can't believe. So we were in New York. Pete Scott was also there. And then... saw him, and then our Ted Fine, our good friend from Boston University, he ran the half marathon, and I think that was on Saturday or something, maybe Sunday. So the city closes down for this half marathon. Then 2 days later, they close it down for the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is you walk up Fifth Avenue. It's like it debilitates the whole city.
The
you can't
center
cross
of the city. Yeah.
So.
So you missed the St. Patrick's Day show. I had my annual, the show that you
perform
in a lot.
I got to hear about it.
Lot,
I saw some
and
posts.
The people, you were very missed. A lot of people were saying, sweet. Where's Gibbons this year? They love your stand-up.
Oh, boy.
And we had Dennis Gubbins went up. And
okay.
Fucking killed it. He killed
Come on.
It. Here's the key. I said to him before, don't take an edible. Don't bring a fucking piece of paper up there. You do stand up once a month. Get up there. I go, I'm only giving you 5 minutes. So I gave him 5 minutes. And then right before he goes on, he goes, can I get six? Can I get six? I got this Irish joke I want to do at the end. So I was like, all right, six, that's it. So he went up and it was like an Evelyn Wood speed comedy class. He just ripped, talking so fast, but it worked. Like the audience dug
nice.
It. It was high energy. He had good material, and so I was he did 6 minutes and 30 seconds, so went a little over.
Fantastic. Good, though.
But
that's such good
news.
Yeah,
he did great. But the headline, the headline of the show was JoJo and Mikey Fitzgibbon, who's a friend of the show, he's been teaching her how to play guitar for like 6 months, and she already knew how to play a little bit. So they learned some Irish songs, and they played live at the show, at the beginning of the show.
I saw a clip of that.
And oh my God, they started out with Sunday Bloody. I was up there with them and we sang Sunday Bloody Sunday and the whole crowd was, you wouldn't believe how many young people have not heard that fucking song. All the young people afterwards were like, what was that thing you sang at the beginning? And all the older people were like, Sunday Bloody Sunday. Yeah. And but she played guitar for that and she looked cute. She had a little Irish thing on her head. And then they played a Pogue song. You know the song Dirty Old Town?
Of course.
And she sang it. And let me tell you something. I mean, you know, obviously you're going to be proud of your kid. But her voice, she has like perfect pitch. She has a really beautiful voice. And her chords are crisp, strong chords. Her and Mikey played it. I played harmonica on it. And then we said, we're going to dedicate this to the state of California and everything you've been going through. And we played California Dreaming. And with three-part harmony, Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block was supposed to show up and sing background harmony, but he fucked up which night the show was. And then flute solo hits. JoJo whips out the flute and nails the California Dreamin' flute solo, which is amazing. And the place loses their shit. People cheering, going crazy, or clapping their hands. It was amazing. It was all anybody could talk about after the show was how good the music was.
Was Dennis like, you know, if you lost the flute solo, I could have done 6:45.
And then Bobby Lee was the headliner. And so show's going great. It's going on time. Everybody's killing. Eric Griffin went up. Annie Letterman went up. And then, and this other guy, Saul Trujillo, who's very funny.
Yep.
And then Bobby Lee shows up while I'm on stage playing the music with JoJo, and he sees that there's music, and then he goes, I'm not doing this. And he fucking walks out, just leaves the show. He's the headliner. I've been advertising him all week. I'm on local radio. I did Good Day LA promoting him, and he just fucking bails.
And that's the end of that story? He doesn't get talked back
that's
in?
It.
Or
nope, just leaves. And then luckily, Tim Dillon, who was supposed to be in Columbus, Ohio, he's a good buddy. So he just came down to hang out. And I go, dude, will you close the show? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. So it was fine because he went up and crushed at the end.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's an upsell for sure. Now, have you talked to Bobby since?
Yes. Andrew Santino called me yesterday while they were recording their podcast to ask me what happened, because I had already talked to Santino earlier in the day and told him about it. And so I just shit on Bobby for like 15 minutes on their own podcast.
And so to his face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Andrew piled on. So it was good. It was good.
What was Bobby's rationale other than what does music mean?
He just gets nervous when a show, if he doesn't like the vibe of a show, he leaves. He does it all the time in L.A., If he doesn't want to if somebody's on that he doesn't want to follow, he'll just leave. I don't know. He's very, very insecure. It's weird.
Huh. I didn't know he got yellow like that.
It was all
yellow. Oh,
shoot.
I didn't even realize what I said.
And then, yeah. So it was a good time. Great night. Everybody had fun. The whole neighborhood was there, and Aaron, and it was fun.
I was bummed I missed it. I checked in. I told you guys to break a leg. I think it was while you were probably on stage or just going on.
Oh yeah,
but I'm so glad it went well. I'm so glad Dennis did well.
Yeah, it was good. And what else? All right, so we got to give a shout out to Daniela, who sends us stories. She's kind of got a knack for what stories we like on this podcast. And we got to thank her. She sent in a couple that we used last week.
Oh, all right. I do not know about Daniela's stories. So,
yeah. And then we got to talk to you guys about the Sunday Paper's 5th anniversary. It was last week. We announced the launch of the merchandise. This is the Sunday Paper's mug. This is the black one. It says 5th anniversary on it. And then we also have this one, which is the Sunday Paper's other mug that is the color version of it.
Yep.
We've got t-shirts. We've got tote bags.
We got a store now, man.
We got a store. If you go to the website, it's right there, and you link to it. It's got, let's see, what else does it have? placemat? Not placemats. What do you call them?
I'm going to get one of those hats.
Yeah,
the hats. I want a fifth anniversary hat.
That's the main thing. I think the hats are the main thing. It says fifth anniversary on it. You can get it in black, white, tan, gray.
We've never had a hat.
We've never had a hat. We've got the fifth anniversary coasters. There's notebooks that say, and those are only $14.
It's just in time for Christmas.
The mugs are only $16.99. So as you guys know, we have not been doing ads lately because we don't believe in them. No, because we haven't gotten them. We need to make up in the revenue so we can pay the guys at Midcoast Media. So get involved. Get some merch. Get excited about the fifth anniversary. Fitzdog.com. Line it up. Now, hopefully, Fred's our merch guy. I think he got a little frustrated with us last week because we didn't do a proper plug for it.
Yeah, we don't like boring you with ads or anything, but buy a hat. Support the cause.
Support the cause. Also, our logo. Speaking of support, Bob sent us a great logo. It's the stock market. You and I are in the Thelma and Louise car going down, and it's mirroring the fall of the stock market, which has been bad.
With this March Madness, man, I don't think I even need to look. I'm not looking at the stock market anymore.
Oh, yeah, you won $90.
Yeah, and all these unders, they're coming in. I'm looking at the score here. They keep rolling in.
Bunch of corrections.
The kids are missing in the second half.
Pat McGroin says the government has no plans to buy any cryptocurrency. This is according to an expert. The government is doing what they do best, forfeiture and seizure. All the crypto from drug dealers and tax cheats will be placed in the federal wallets. How about that?
All right.
That's a lot of fucking money. I wonder if they earmark it for anything in particular, or if it just kind of goes into the pot.
And I guess when someone loses a lot of Bitcoin, by definition, does the value go up of the remaining Bitcoin?
No, it's still active Bitcoin. It's just owned by somebody else. Oh, when somebody loses it?
Yeah, like I it's my Bitcoin and I have the password on a hard drive.
Are you saying if you lose the password?
Yeah, like when you hear about people like they lost their Bitcoin.
Yeah, I don't know. I know we sound like two 58-year-old guys that don't understand. Well, you're 57 who don't understand this.
Yeah, what are
you
doing?
I'm going to be 59 years old in like 2 weeks.
No.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Oh man, I would change. I wouldn't do that. Don't do that.
No, I think I'm locked in.
That's right. I love that little sweet spot, that week where you are 2 years older than I am.
Yeah. All right, and then Mike Mulroy. I think we have a very Irish listenership. A lot of our emails come from people with Irish names. This week, Mike said it is always pit bulls that disarm firearms. I think he probably meant discharge firearms.
Oh, okay.
Although I have to say, sometimes disarm discharges down here.
That's an impressive pit bull if it can disarm a firearm.
Red Twizzler.
By the way, I don't think Pat McGroin is Irish. I think that might be a funny name.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like Rub McGroin.
Yeah. And then we got Red Twizzler said, saying the first solar satellite launch from Cape Canaveral, not Cape Kennedy, should have been a clue for Greg. Somebody has no idea how Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies
that's
work.
That's true.
Ha ha. Bitcoin can't be hacked, period. Well, that is not true. Because we just read a story last week where some North Koreans hacked into a cryptocurrency and stole like $5 billion. So anything can be hacked. If it can be built by geeks, it can be hacked by better geeks. Always.
All right.
Joe Blow says, Fitz fact alert, Bobby Lee's middle initial is not E. His middle name is Young. It's not even Y-U-N-G, which would be funnier. So it's Bobby Young Lee.
All right.
Well, he certainly acts like a child, so that makes sense.
Perfect, yeah, when he storms off after not liking the vibe.
Tour dates coming up. We got Hamilton, Ontario at the Levity Comedy Club, March 26th. Toronto, the Comedy Bar, March 27th. Pittsburgh Improv, March 28th through the 30th. April 4th and 5th for my birthday, I'll be in Boston at Laugh Boston. And then Torrance, Huntington, Escondido, Dayton, Ohio, Tampa, Austin, La Jolla. Go to fitzdog.com. Get some tickets, support live comedy. And now let's get to the front page.
You have something to crinkle?
I do.
Because I'm not crinkling my March Madness.
Peanut butter filled pretzel bag from Trader Joe's.
Well, that's so good stuff. There you go. Front page. Meghan Markle. This is my headline. Meghan Markle sucks at names. And first of all, I refuse to call her Meghan Sussex. Do you know that she wants to be called Meghan Sussex?
No. Sussex? Why? Why?
She's demanding to be called that. So Archie and Lily were christened Mountbatten Windsor, hyphenated. And Harry and Meghan are borrowing Sussex from their title to make up their last name. It's so weird.
Huh.
And she corrected someone on her podcast, on her show, her new show, who called her Meghan Markle. It's like, that's so funny you say that because I'm Meghan Sussex.
Well, if
what a disaster.
If she's
so
black,
Meghan revealed last, what?
If she's black, shouldn't it be Meghan Charcoal?
What? From Sussex?
No, Meghan Markle should be Meghan Charcoal.
I got you now. So Meghan revealed last month that she had renamed her brand from American Riviera Orchard to the new name As Ever after she had a slew of trademark woes. But it seems as though the mishaps keep haunting her yet-to-be-released brand ahead of its official launch. The name American Riviera Orchard was reportedly rejected by the trade, I think it's the USPTO. What the hell is that? Trademark. Patent and Trademark Office. Because you cannot trademark geographical locations.
Huh.
And rival lifestyle brand Harry and David filed a protest against Markle's lifestyle brand, claiming the name is too similar to its Royal Riviera product line. Meghan also made the same filing mistake, failing to sign the document when she tried to trademark The Tig, which is the name of her old lifestyle blog, and did it again with Archetypes, the name she chose for her short-lived Spotify podcast. After announcing her brand's new name to the world last month, it soon emerged that As Ever, the name already belonged to an independent New York City clothing brand.
Mm.
The former actress is also reportedly facing possible legal action from a Spanish town because As Ever's new logo has a striking similarity to this place in Mallorca. What a loser.
Well, first of all, I love that they call her former actress because you know she's still trying to get parts. But they have closed the door on that.
I think she's acting like a Sussex. That's what she's doing.
Yeah. I mean, she just can't get anything off the ground. I remember her and her husband, whatever his name is, Andrew. Is she married to Andrew?
No. Meghan and what's his name? We're
Willie?
Terrible. Go ahead.
Is it
I don't really care.
Anyway, who cares?
Harry. Isn't it Harry?
I have no idea. I just know that I'm proud of the fact that I wouldn't know a member of the royal family if I was punching them in the face. And I'm the same way with the Kardashians. I don't know who's a Jenner, who's a Kardashian. They don't even know. If you've seen the before and after pictures of these Kardashians and Jenners, you would not. If a police sketch artist, if they went missing and they did it off of them before plastic surgery, it would be impossible to find that person.
Oh, they have that picture. They have the picture of the Kardashian family. They're unrecognizable.
Yeah. But she and her husband, Harry or whatever his name
is. Yeah, Harry.
Harry, they got paid like $8 million or no more, like $50 million from Spotify to do a podcast. And a year later, they had done one podcast. They just could not get their shit together. Like, they don't have the time and the means to get something going.
And the Netflix show, I think they got millions for that. And I think that went nowhere.
Yeah.
And then here's a headline. Here's a headline from 1 hour ago. Meghan Markle blamed by Prince Harry's pals for making him too woke before their royal exit. Mm. Well, I agree with them on that one.
Isn't it funny that most kids that are accused of being woke are also on Adderall?
Most kids...
wakes you up. It wakes you up.
Oh, there it is. I like it.
I don't know.
People we got some anti-woke stories coming up.
Woke, a lot of people that aren't woke are like in the opioid section of the country.
Greg, speaking of not woke, you want to read the next story?
Yes. The Trump administration has announced the federal government will no longer unequivocally prohibit contractors from having segregated restaurants, waiting rooms, and drinking fountains. Last month, Trump revoked Lyndon Johnson's decades-old diversity and affirmative action practices. The big picture, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 still makes segregated facilities illegal in all businesses. The change follows the Trump administration's reinterpretation of civil rights era laws to focus on, quote, anti-white racism rather than discrimination against people of color. So... I guess business as usual at Mar-a-Lago and all his country clubs. Nothing really changes.
I think he also wants to make baseball white again. He misses that.
Oh, yeah. Ohtani. Sayonara.
Yeah. Dodgers blew it. The Brooklyn Dodgers blew that one. You know, the funny thing about Mar-a-Lago is it's right across from where my dad as a member of a club there. It's right across the street, and that club will not let Trump become a member at all. Like, not even, he can't even apply. And he hates them, of course. And he, one thing he did is he tried to change flight patterns to annoy that club. And when he was
to annoy your dad's club?
I believe that's what it is. But then anyway, it came back to bite him in the ass. Same thing, too, is when he changed Mar-a-Lago, which was this estate from Meriwether Post, I believe. And then he bought it, and then he, like, kind of made it a club with lots of, like, subdividing it, basically. And he then couldn't, one of the rules that he got changed in order to do that is that no one could live there year round. No one could be like a resident of it. And that backfired when he then lost the election because he wanted to move back there full time. Uh-huh. And the law he changed did not allow him to do that.
Amazing. Amazing.
Anyway, but he likes to brag that they have diversity, and they looked into it. And what it was is I probably have some of this wrong, but what I heard was his black member of the club Mar-a-Lago was like a despised criminal leader from an African country, like billionaire.
A Pennsylvania man was caught trying to carry a live turtle through airport security by hiding the reptile in his pants. Hey, we've all had a reptile in our pants. The man was flagged last week when he went through a body scanner at Newark International Airport. The TSA, I would say there's probably a lot of weird shit in guys' pants going through New Jersey. A TSA officer conducted a pat down of the man's groin area and determined there was something hidden in there. When asked if he was hiding something, the man reached down and pulled out a live turtle. The reptile was wrapped in a small blue towel. And officials estimated that the turtle was about 5 inches long. The man, of course, insisted it was about 7 inches long.
Yeah, it just has to get excited. Once the turtle gets excited, come on now. You're not going to judge a flaccid turtle.
Right. I know he moves slow, but he moves.
The guy got so scared when TSA was confronting him that little, the old turtle head popped out of his butthole, too. Disgusting.
A bill introduced by Republican lawmakers in Arkansas. Why do they spell it Arkansas? Why don't we say Arkansas?
We can. We can do whatever we want. We say a lot of things wrong.
Aims to intimidate anyone who supports or affirms young people's social transition. HB 1668 weaponizes civil enforcement by permitting lawsuits against any person who supports trans young people by providing or helping to receive gender-affirming care. The bill defines social transitioning as any act by which a minor adopts or espouses a gender identity that differs from the minor's biological sex, including, without limitation, changes in clothing, pronouns, hairstyle, and name. So men are no longer allowed to shop at Lululemon?
No way. I thought that was in all 50 states.
I bought some pants there recently. Let me tell you something. They're the best sweatpants I've ever bought. I did not like being in a Lululemon, but they're pretty sweet.
So if you go to a Harry Styles concert and support him as he's up there in a dress, you're guilty?
Right, right. And I would like to, I'd also like to retroactively prosecute my parents for the Dorothy Hamill looking haircut they gave me when I was five.
Also, and if I play golf with you down in Arkansas, and I joke as usual that you should hit from the lady tees, am I supporting you in that transition of yours?
You could be in Arkansas, you would be arrested for that.
Or when Tiger jokingly gives a tampon to a player who has a shorter drive, lock him up.
Lock him up. Yeah, that is very weird. So you can't give a boy a girl's haircut. Like, what if he's in a band? What if he's, you know?
Yeah.
I had long hair.
So if this young person asks you, listen, my pronoun is she, even though they were, I don't even know how to phrase this, biologically a male when they were born, and you agree, you could get in trouble down there.
Yes. So all you got to do is agree. Yep.
That's sounds like a joke. It's not.
All right. Let's go to entertainment.
Entertainment now.
A federal judge dismissed charges against one of two men accused of stealing the Wizard of Oz ruby red slippers in 2005 after prosecutors said he died.
Oh.
That's the best way to get out of a case.
Over the rainbow.
Jerry Hal Salaterman was indicted on charges of theft of a major artwork. He confessed to stealing the shoes from the museum in the actress's hometown of Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
I remember that.
It was in Michigan. Prosecutors filed a motion to dismiss the case, saying Sal Terman passed away. He was 77. And bad news is Arkansas is prosecuting him for owning ruby red slippers.
Yeah, of course. What is he doing?
Yeah, he's stretching them out.
Yeah. And then you said, I just tagged yours.
He died. Actually, I had to read a second article. He died when a house landed on him.
See, I had heard he dropped dead when he saw the movie Wicked. He was like, it's not worth it. Just let me go. Here are the goddamn shoes. They're worthless now.
Yes. They say that suicide went up during the pandemic and after Wicked came out.
Yeah.
By the way, I listened to The Daily today. And, okay. You know, The Daily is produced by The New York Times. It's definitely, I hate to say it's left-leaning because I honestly think it's extremely factual. I don't think that it's left. I think like today they did a piece about the pandemic and they had on a couple of government experts that talked about how ineffective lockdown was and that we blew it, that basically we allowed the medical community to have real, like, tunnel vision about how to handle the epidemic and that they didn't really factor in the effect it would have on kids. My kids got fucked by COVID. I swear to God, both of my kids' high school and their college education was seriously dismantled by that, by what they went through with that shutdown. And they looked at other countries, they looked at state by state who locked down more. There was no advantage to locking down, to social distancing, and that in the end, they should have really just been protective of at-risk communities, older people, obese people, but that kids especially should never have been locked down.
I mean, they have to say that with hindsight, that's easy to say, right?
Yes, but it went on for a year and a half. You know, they should have been looking at numbers as they were coming in faster. Like Florida, we didn't lock down at all. Had the numbers were the same as everywhere else after 6 months.
I don't know what I'm talking about, but this is a fact that like what we saw happen in Italy was terrifying, and then Spain and France, and so, and then New York, a city like that, I think. I don't know how else they would have done it. Maybe you're saying, okay, yeah, do that for the first month, maybe.
Yes.
And then protect, then younger people can go back to school and back to work. But, I mean, they had to get trucks to store the dead bodies. They could not fit them in the morgues.
Right.
The hospitals were overrun. People were dying left and right. COVID lowered the life expectancy in the United States by like 2 years, I think.
Right, and it was, yeah, you have to treat it as worst-case scenario.
Benign.
It was also much stronger when it first came out. The original strain of COVID was much deadlier than it became later, which is not the case normally. It's actually, a lot of times it mutates and it can stay deadly, but in this case, it didn't because viruses need the host to live in order to feed off it. So it will actually morph into a less deadly strain because otherwise it dies off because it has nothing to feed off of.
Evil people don't kill their workers. They need them.
That's right. If you are stealing, like if you have a housekeeper who's stealing from you, you don't burn the house down.
You beat her till she's bedridden for a while, but not dead. She comes back.
We once had a housekeeper stealing from us.
Oh, I know. I remember that story.
Yeah. Okay.
Remember Annie Hall, his parents, immigrant parents who lived under the roller coaster at Coney Island?
Yeah.
And the father, and she's like, she's stealing from us. He's like, she's black, let her steal. It was the very liberal Jewish, she needs it.
All right, let's get to Florida.
Here it is.
Make America Florida.
Clearwater, Florida. A Florida man was taken to jail for pulling a gun on a man at a karaoke bar after becoming upset about the music. According to the police, Jablonski, I love that name, became upset because the karaoke machine was malfunctioning. After leaving the bar, still upset about the music, Jablonski was confronted outside by a patron who tried to calm him down. That's when Jablonski allegedly pulled a gun from his waistband, pointed it at the patron, and said, I don't effing care. He then turned away, racked a round out of his gun, and walked off. Jablonski was later booked into the local jail and was released on bond 3 days later. According to the court documentation, Jablonski was ordered by a judge to stay away from the overtime sports bar and to have no contact with the victim. The judge also added, I was going to tell him to calm down, but decided not to.
I think that the judge maybe should recommend to everybody to stay away from overtime sports bar. I mean, if you're trying to cut down on crime, that's just a overall rule. And the worst thing is, all he wanted to do was sing John Lennon's Imagine.
You know, I saw a thing today. I don't know if it's because it would be the easiest thing in the world to Photoshop, but it was John and Yoko. Remember their famous bed in their.
Oh, I saw this picture. Yeah, the sleep-in.
So they're there in all the famously, you know, the white outfits and the white sheets for their protest. And
they slept in the same bed for 10 days or they didn't get out of bed for 10 days or something.
Yeah, and then you see them standing near the bed as they let a housekeeper change the sheets.
And she was Vietnamese.
I mean, it looked real. I mean, it's an offensive photo, obviously, because Yoko should be changing the sheets.
Dude, John Lennon was a really violent maniac. He beat up a guy who I think was a musician that he'd been playing with. He got in a fight with him and like kicked him in the head. And the guy had a brain contusion and later died from it. And he beat up both his wives. He beat up his son. He was a real asshole.
Are you sure you're not talking about Mark Wahlberg?
Oh, hey now. Take it easy on Mark Wahlberg.
All right.
Just saw Mark Wahlberg movies really are fun because they're so fucking bad. But you just get, there's one called, I think it's called Sniper. Yeah, Sniper. If you ever have a free night and you just want to just not push yourself in any way, watch Sniper.
I'm watching enough crap right now because I'm watching White Lotus.
Ugh.
Oh.
Awful.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Can something happen at some point? Can some plot kick in? All we're getting is these three women that none of them are hot. None of them are ugly. They're just average. And there's no story at all, except they talk about each other when the third one's not around.
Who fucking cares?
It's Sex and the City.
It's terrible.
And then you got this black woman who recognizes a guy. That's the story. There's no other story except she recognizes a guy from a previous episode. Am I missing something? Is anything else happening with her?
They're so leaning on the feel and the look and the luxury porn. God.
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
And Parker Posey, great character, very funny. It's not enough to carry a show.
I know. Severance I'm caught up on, and that's I guess it's, oh, when this airs, the Severance finale might be out already. I think there's only one more, and it's tomorrow night,
Friday
night. There's
one more left. I'm completely riveted. I'm all in. I think that it's one of those shows that really has gotten better every season.
Mm-hmm. And then have you started Adolescence?
No. I can't wait.
One shot, continuous shot. It's crazy.
Yeah, a few people wrote in that it was a great show. One guy said it's the greatest thing that's ever been made.
Whoa now. Hey, all right, let's make Texas Florida, buddy.
All right.
Crinkle time. A 61-year-old man was fatally shot at a Texas McDonald's over the weekend while picking up Happy Meals for his grandchildren. During an altercation at the McDonald's in Katy, Texas on Sunday evening, Jorge Arbaza, an innocent bystander, was shot multiple times. He was life-flighted to a nearby hospital, but later died from his wounds. At the time of the shooting, his wife was inside a vehicle in the McDonald's parking lot with two of their grandchildren. He had to run inside to grab the grandchildren Happy Meals. Oh, this, you put this story in here. It's horrible.
Well, it is. The grandmother was speechless, except when she turned to the kids and said, "Are you happy now? Does this make you happy?" And even worse news is that he was aiming at Ronald McDonald and missed him and hit Jorge.
And the Hamburglar got away again. The Hamburglar waits for these distractions. He's like, I have to wait for a beautiful story of a grandfather going in to get his Happy Meal and he'll be gunned down.
The Hamburglar. Isn't that funny that they came up with a character who's a thief?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, McDonald's steals years off your life.
That's true.
Maybe that's the theme.
Yeah. They steal your health. And it's not cheap anymore. I went to McDonald's the other day for breakfast. It was like $10 for an Egg McMuffin and a coffee.
I really know now how old people feel because you grow up your whole life and you get locked in to prices, the idea, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, and especially I think we had it good. We never had, in the prime of our like life, we never really had bad inflation for 30 years,
right?
Something like that.
Right.
Well, man, New York City, I couldn't even believe how expensive a taxi ride was because they have all these surcharges now. But it was like $30 to go not many miles at all. $35.
Yeah, I think the key to New York City now is you got to take the subway as much as possible, and then you can take city bikes that are still somewhat affordable. And you can avoid taxis for the most part. I mean, to and from the airport, I'm usually so fucking jet lagged when I land, I'm not going to get on a subway and a bus or whatever. So I just suck it up. I spend the $125 and take the taxi to the city.
It was more expensive. This is true. It was more expensive than my flight there was the car ride into Manhattan.
Wow.
Yeah. By a lot, actually.
All right. Let's get to international.
International. Go for it.
I gotta hold on to this bag. This is a good crinkle bag.
That is.
A white model who actually believes she is black is preparing to move to Africa, where she says she is more appreciated. Yeah, I'm sure there's a real appreciation for another black person coming to Africa. But even after undergoing several procedures to make herself look the part, the rest of the world is saying, not so fast. Martina Big and her husband Michael inject themselves with melatonin, a synthetic hormone that increases the production of skin darkening pigments. Since a 2019 baptism ceremony in Kenya, the Sun says the 39-year-old German woman has gone by Malaika Kubwa, which means big angel in Swahili. Huh. Big says she always felt like a warm reception in Africa, adding that several countries on the continent are ready to roll out the welcome mat. Why does she have to go to Africa? Can she just move to Detroit?
Oh, boy. You're calling Detroit black?
Little bit.
You asked me what's the blackest city in America before the podcast, and I said I thought it might be Houston, you know, major city.
Detroit
has the rep.
St. Louis is very, East St. Louis in particular is a very black area.
You can't say East St. Louis.
Why?
Because that would be like the most Mexican city is East Los Angeles. It just doesn't, you can't divide it like that.
Okay. Probably New Orleans.
Ooh, that's a pretty good guess. Yeah, it's funny how... Yeah, you went with Detroit, which is in the north. Anyway, I think this woman, especially if she's big, I think she should join the WNBA and then beat herself up now that she's black. That would be beating up her former self, a white woman. Because let's face it, that's what the WNBA thrives on. Racial violence.
Yes.
That is what brings the viewers finally to the WNBA.
If you could get Caitlin... whatever her name is, to fight against that black woman who she hates, if you could get them to do MMA, that would probably be the highest selling ticket in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Did you see there's going to be a new show about the WNBA? It's from the people who made the show Glow about the women wrestlers. But
really?
I'm predicting this WNBA TV series is going to be a miss. See?
So
it occurred to me when I thought of that joke, the whole league is filled with Mrs. and Mrs. MRS and MISS.
Yes.
The whole league. Nothing but Mrs.
You're right. So you're saying it's going to be out of bounds mostly.
It's not going to be a slam dunk or a layup.
No. No, I think I think the other shows are going to steal the ratings.
Yeah. They'll just turn over their time slot eventually. Very quickly, actually.
All right. Let's move down to... We should cover this in science.
Cover this in science.
NASA's Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams have returned from space after their week-long mission stretched to more than 9 months. I smell a new ABC sitcom, by the way. This is like the new Gilligan's Island. You know, it's supposed to be a 3-hour tour. So I think NASA is going to have to cast the astronauts better. So you get like a professor and a billionaire in case they get stuck in space again. If they set up cameras and did a reality show from the space station, that would be pretty fucking cool.
And you get kicked off each week. Someone gets kicked off the station.
Yes, I like it.
Good luck.
So they've splashed down on Tuesday. It was a test flight that just something happened to their spacecraft. It was too risky for them to come back in it. So Elon Musk saved the day. SpaceX with a with a 9-person crew, went up there with just 7 people, so there'd be 2 extra seats to bring them back. And Musk said that he was very proud, but disappointed they did not procreate since they'd been up there for 9 months.
When they saw it was a SpaceX, they're like, no, thank you, Nazi. How about what these guys have missed also? One of them, right, is the Russian cosmonaut, Gorbunov, and the other guys from NASA. And it's like, welcome back. Have we missed anything? Well, we're allies now. That happened.
Yeah, right.
We're on the same team, apparently.
Right. What else did we miss?
Election.
Yeah.
And one of them's like, I can't wait to get home to good old Palisades, Los Angeles.
Uh-huh. Yep.
They probably saw the fire from up there.
All right, so let's get down to this day
breaking news. Another under just came in, Greg.
Oh, nice.
4 unders, 1 over. Let's go.
This day in history.
Here it is. Oh, you're putting me on the spot. Now I can't look at the scores. Mm. All right, here we go.
Hate this to pull day. Your focus during the podcast.
Alcatraz prison closed, Gregory. The U.S. federal prison on San Francisco's Bay. It held some of the most dangerous civilian prisoners, including Al Capone and Robert Stroud, who was the birdman of Alcatraz. Closed on this day in what year, give or take? What do you want me to say to you on this? Give or take what?
15 years.
Really?
I have no idea, to be honest. I mean, not no idea, because Al Capone was like
I'm gonna give or take 10.
1920s guy.
I'm going to give or take 10
years. The
Birdman
of Alcatraz, I feel like, was the 30s. I'm going to say 1952.
Oh, my God. So glad I went with 10 years. 1963.
No shit. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Have you ever been on the tour of Alcatraz, by the way? It is one of the best tours of anything you could take.
I've been there, yeah.
Oh, my God. You put on the headset and you walk into a cell and they recreate what it would be like to be in that cell. And you know what the great thing about Alcatraz is? They explain on the tour that guess who built the prison?
Prisoners.
The original prisoners. They were brought over with tents. They slept in tents and they built the prison and then they got inside and they locked it.
That's what Trump wants with Mexico.
With the
he
wall.
He wants them to build the wall.
Yeah.
And stay on that side.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really like you have to imagine what the work pace was like on that work site. Little slow yeah. Getting those walls up.
Yeah, I put a little less cement in this one, in this block.
Yeah. Hey, Murphy, what are you building over there? The hot tub, sir. This is the hot tub.
Okay, here we go. In one of the most famous cliffhangers in American television history, season 3 of Dallas ended with the shooting of J.R. Ewing, played by Larry Hagman. The phrase, "Who shot J.R.?" entered the lexicon of American popular culture. In what year was J.R. shot, give or take 4 years?
I'm going to say 1985.
1980. You are missing by 1 year.
Shit.
I love it. Do you remember what year the last MASH was?
The last MASH was 1979.
You're terrible, Muriel. It was, I'm going to guess, I'm going to look it up now, last MASH. I'm going to say 82 because I remember where I was and I was new.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. You're right.
Did not know anyone at my boarding school, and a teacher invited students, like, you know, 20 of us to watch it. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's see. Last MASH. Just give me that goddamn year.
I think it started in like 73, 74.
83, it says.
Oh, okay. All right. What year did it start? 75?
Oh, right. I put it in the fall, but it would have been in the spring of my sophomore year. Okay, anyway. All right. Back to this day in history. Let's move on then to the Butler Act. I'm not going to ask you about the Butler Act. I did find some other ones here.
The Butler Act. The fuck is that?
The Butler Act, which outlawed the teaching of evolution in Tennessee, right where I'm sitting.
Oh, right.
Was signed into law. The legislation was at the center of the Scopes trial. Okay, that's what it was. Holy moly. Anyway, so that was 1925. It was not repealed until 1967.
Well, and guess what? They're going to go back to it again. Mark my words, they will stop teaching evolution in the schools in the next 4 years.
Oh boy. All right, let's see. Okay.
Jesus
Augusta,
Christ. Mike.
Augusta
literally,
National
just so
Golf
people know,
Club.
We always have a little pre-production meeting, and every week I say, did you look up This Week in History? And you always go, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And you laugh. I do it to make you laugh.
All right.
Listen, you're a little bummed because you haven't gotten a single one right.
I know.
The Augusta National Golf Club hosted the first Masters tournament in Augusta, Georgia. In what year, give or take? I mean, I'm going to try to help you here. 10 years.
Oh, come on. 10 years.
The Masters at Augusta.
1925.
Look what you did, sir. 1934.
Nice.
You made it by 1 year.
Woo! And what year did they allow black players? It was
2028. I'm hearing.
I think they changed it because Tiger Woods was technically not allowed to play there because there was no black players when he first started playing there.
I'm going to give you give or take 30 years on this next one.
Okay.
The Montreal Amateur Athletic Association won ice hockey's first Stanley Cup in this year. Give or take 30 years. The first Stanley Cup to be won.
1918.
You got it. 1894.
Nice. Damn. Yeah, 1894. And the original six teams was Montreal, Toronto, Boston, New York, Detroit. Maybe Chicago.
Yeah, I think the Rangers won in 94, right? And the whole chant before that was 1940 because that was the last time they won it. Wow. And it's even more depressing that because when you look up 1940, there were as many teams as you're talking about. That's how pathetic it was. Okay, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. I said that Montreal, Toronto, yes. Boston, yes. Detroit, yes. Chicago, yes. I fucking nailed it. I got it.
Look at you.
All right.
James Cameron's epic drama Titanic. It won 11 Academy Awards, tying the record set by Ben-Hur. All right, we'll do a twofer. Give or take 5 years, when did Titanic come out? Actually, it was the Academy Awards, so that's what this is. So when did it win all its Oscars, Titanic? Give or take 5 years.
1995.
Look at you getting them by a slim margin. 1998.
Okay.
Give or take 10 years, when did Ben-Hur come out?
1959. And you gave me 10 years on that?
I think I did.
Ah, back.
And we'll go out.
I'm
we'll
back,
go out
baby.
We'll go out on this one. Elizabeth Taylor was born. No. Oh, she was born and died in some very close months. Anyway, she died on this day in what year? She was 79 years old, and she died on what year on this day? And I'll give you, give or take 5 years.
All right, she was friends with Michael Jackson, and he probably died in late 90s, right? No, early 2000s. She was alive. All right, I'm going to say she died in 2001 in the Twin Towers.
Close.
That's why one of them fell, as a matter of fact. They say it wasn't the plane.
It was her weight?
Yeah.
Her heft?
Yeah.
It was there looks like towers in the date. It was 2011.
And how many years did you give me?
I gave you 5, I think. I thought you would get that. All right, we're going to go out on that one. Too bad.
Okay, very good. All right, no obituaries. There's nobody we care about that died this week or last week. It's been a really good 2 weeks for us.
You know what I did hear a lot of chatter about is we're about to get to the funnies. That I don't think we put a caption contest.
We did not. And my apologies to our staff of writers that are always so prolific. I forgot to put one in last week. This week, here's one for you. It's not in the script because somehow the formatting failed and it wouldn't transfer in. But here's what the picture is. It is a photographer, sort of like he's got on modern day clothes. But he's got like a green screen set with lights set up, and he's got his camera on a tripod, and there's a family about to get their picture taken, and they're dressed like pioneers from the old West that did well for themselves. He's got on a suit with a lariat kind of a tie. The mother has a bonnet and an umbrella and a dress to the ground. The girl has a little bonnet with a dress to the ground. The boy has on a little hat, a little suit like his dad. And the photographer is sort of like grooming the little boy's hair with his hand. So he's touching the boy's hair with his hand and staring at him, maybe in a little bit of a creepy way, but the picture will be up. And you can write your jokes, send them into fitzdogradio@gmail.com, and you will get a koozie if we deem you the best punchline for the caption. Caption for the comic. Okay. Now we got Hagar the Horrible. Hagar is in the castle, the king's castle, and he has a coat in his hands. And the queen and the king are standing there, and the queen is pointing in his face. She's very angry. She says, "You're taking my most valuable coat for your silly wife. I couldn't be more humiliated." And Hagar goes, "Really?" And then in the next frame, he goes, "Gift wrap it."
Oh, he got her.
But I think really what he would say in the next frame is you would see her spread out on a 4-poster bed naked while he stands over her. And he says, "No, I think this is more humiliating, isn't it? As a line of Vikings line up behind him."
Yeah.
I think she got off pretty easy with losing a coat.
"You gift wrap this while I unbox that."
Yes. This week, we did not have anything that I thought was funny from the Lockhorns, which is strange. Usually, there's a few good ones. And so, instead, I pulled one from, what's the name of this comic strip? All right, I'll say it next week. But it's a bunch of flies, and they're at a cocktail party, and one whispers to the other one, "Psst, Leo, your human's open."
Do you think it's mosquitoes? I don't know what those are.
No, they're flies, obviously, because he says your human is open. Not your fly is open.
Oh, flies. I didn't understand what it was saying.
Yeah.
I thought they were like waiting to go attack. I got it.
And then comic strip, there's a second one where the wife, who's like a duck or something, is looking in the mirror and she goes, "Sigh, I'm so fat." And then her husband, who's a dog, says, "No, you're not. You're beautiful." And then she whips around and goes, "I said I was fat, not ugly."
Very good clarification, I think.
Yeah, that's funny.
Dog tried to get away with it.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Another under is coming in. I'm going to try to ignore it. Here we go. We are at number 7 for the Doonesberries. The funniest Doonesberries ever. It's 4 frames. They are all the same drawing of the White House from the front. First frame, we hear from inside. "There's no need to be alarmed, sir. These are just contingency speeches. There's not a chance you'll ever need them, but Al thought you should be prepared." Another voice. "Yes, yes, I suppose you're right. Give them here. Here, Pat, let's see what you've got." And then here's the voice. "My fellow Americans, I come to you tonight dying as I am of a terminal illness." And then the fourth and final frame, you hear a voice. "Hey, I like this one." And then another one goes, "We knew you would, sir." There you go.
Yeah.
Now, what's the posted thing in the front? Is that a, does that help make it better?
No, I think I can't read it. Stay off the grass or something.
Yeah. How about off reading that? There should be a posted sign that says, "There's a surprise ending. It's not funny."
Doonesbury is a comic strip that was really aimed at 1970s post-war activists who read the New York Times, were highly educated, but had that sort of cynicism of having been through a lot of protests.
Yeah.
Some of which worked and some which didn't. How come there's no protests? How come America...
Here's the update. Here's the update. Wait. McNeese State beat Clemson. So that's an upset. 69-67. So that's what? 136?
Does that kick Clemson out of the tournament? Is it like single elimination?
Let me tell you a little something about a fight.
You don't even know. You don't even know.
A fight that Rabin... What? They're out. What do you mean? This is the...
Oh, is that... It's a single elimination? That's it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Get this. Rabin's going to shit himself, but I have proof. The original over-under was 133.5. It moved up 3 points 5 minutes before the game to 136.5, and this came in at 136.
No shit. Wow. All right, let's get to... Jesus, this fucking kills me. I always gravitate to the ones where Dagwood and Blondie are in bed together because right out of the gate, that's just humorous to me that you don't see anything except her ass in the air with a nightlight gleaming over her buttocks where you just see a thin film of blonde hair leading down to the curvature of her little pink, her little whatever. So
also,
she's
always wearing the strap off the shoulder.
Strap off the shoulder. And it's frilly. It's frilly. Obviously, there's no bra. And yet, miraculously, her breasts are fully up. There is no sag. They're taut. And they're not fake because this is an old comic strip. So now he says, "Goodnight, sweetheart," with his stupid pajama, donut pajamas on. She goes, "Goodnight, honey." And then they kiss. They kiss. You got her. Dagwood, she's fucking kissing you. Close. Yeah. Always be closing. And then she goes, "Try not to let that horror movie we watched earlier keep you up all night." And then and then she turns her back to him with a chill. A cold breeze blows through the air as she turns her back to him. And his thought bubble is, "I wasn't going to until just now." No, you know what should keep you up all night? Grinding your protein into the fucking between the legs of that goddess, that yellow-haired vixen. You should be rolling around in sweat.
Oh boy,
that's what should be keeping you up.
That's close. You're right, this is the closest one.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, America, the Sunday Papers has entered its fifth year as of last week, and to celebrate, we've got merchandise. Go to fitzdog.com, pick up a hat, get a t-shirt, get a tote bag, get a notebook, get a mug. They're all there, shipped right away, because this is no longer going through Mike Gibbons Shipping Productions. This is an actual professional dealing with this for us.
Yeah.
Very reasonable prices. We hope you'll get involved. And anything you want to promote, Mike?
Yeah, I really want this game not to go over 148.5, the one
okay.
I'm watching.
We'll
and
be
I, BYU. And I think it is going to go past that.
All right. Well,
too bad.
Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Midcoast Media for all the production, editing, uploading, marketing, all the stuff they do to make us one of the top 2,400 podcasts in the world. And that's it.
That's all you got. I think it's time to take it ish.
Take it ish.
Buy a hat.
The Earth has spun around 7 more revolutions. A lot of shit has happened with very few solutions. How do you unpack what's happened this week? Give Mike and Greg the mic and listen to them speak on the Sunday Flip Blues Podcast.
My foster parents didn't just teach me to fish. They taught me that persistence and patience pay off. They didn't just teach me to bake the perfect birthday cake. They also taught me to measure and meet my own potential. They didn't just teach me to garden. They taught me to plant seeds and watch them grow. And they didn't just teach me to walk. They taught me to stand on my own 2 feet. Foster a child and change their future. Visit youthvillages.org/foster.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Memphis Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.